I said to Mike, come up and share with you. And I thought, what do I speak on? And I was praying about it, and I started working down a pathway, and God clearly said, no, don't want you to say that. I go, okay, we'll go a different direction. And then I've got something I want to say, I believe God wants me to say to you. But even yesterday and today, it's been interesting. I haven't had this happen before, in a way, but I feel he wants me to encourage you and say something. It's in the message, this point or this direction, but it seems like he wants me to say, make sure you get this point. And that's, he sees what you're doing, and he loves what you're doing, but there's more. It seems like he wants you to know there's more that you can experience of him. He knows, and that's one of the most exciting things for me about God, is that there will always be more. And I'm not sure, I'll try and make note of it as I speak in a minute, but it's just for you as Muckambootin Church of Christ, it seems that God wants you to get this point, that there's more of him for you to experience. And he sees what you're doing, but don't settle for where you are. Pursue him and get to know him, because he has more for you. Let me pray. Father, this morning as we give you thanks that we have an opportunity just to come, to be here, to pause, push pause on the rest of our lives, and to come and focus on you for this time. Focus on you together to open our hearts and minds, and Lord, with a posture of Lord willingness and openness to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love the fact that we get days, we get weeks, we get months, and we get years. Because every morning I stood at the kitchen with Ian Shadbolt this morning, we watched the sun come up. Every day, you know, we get a new day to start and go, yeah, I get a new chance to do something or live my life the way that God wants me to. I might have blown it a few times the day before, but as that sun comes up, I get a new chance to do it better. Every week I get a chance to try something new. Every month, you know, I've tried a few things and maybe I can get into a new habit of doing something a little bit different. And then every year, you know, you always get that chance of, what can I do differently this year? How can I be different? I want to ask you, are there things in your life that you go, you know, I'd just like to be a little bit different in that area? Maybe moving forward, I can put things in place that can help me be a little bit different. Julie and I have enjoyed watching The Chosen. Some of you may know it. It's just a series. You know, somebody got together and made a film of, you know, their interpretation of Jesus' life. And they did a fair bit of research on the cultural context. I think what I've enjoyed is that it's brought to life the different characters of the disciples, and when you read the scriptures you see it, but you forget the humanness, and that they would have been all different just like us. They would have brought their characteristics into that group with Jesus. But I've just enjoyed going, just sitting and watching, go, hey, yeah, they would have been different. You know, in season three, the start of season three, as we watched it start with the Sermon on the Mount, and it proceeds after the Sermon on the Mount, proceeds to follow the disciples as they wrestle with, this is different. What Jesus has just spoken about, how he's calling them to live life, is very different to what they expected the Messiah to do. If you want to have a look this afternoon, take time. Sit down and just read Matthew 5 to 7. It challenges us in how we live. how we react and how we respond in certain situations. It's very different to how I would want to do, you know, if I was going to do it myself in situations. And Jesus says, and it's interesting following, you see the disciples wrestle and go, man, that's not how I want to react. That's not how I want to live in that situation. You know, when we read our Bible and Jesus is introducing his teaching and we follow them, he's saying, basically Jesus is saying, I've brought something different. He's issued in his kingdom come. See, when Jesus came, that was the start of the change. His kingdom come. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14-15, it says this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And then on this first slide, thanks, Kay. His message was this. At last the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. Jesus was saying, it's a new day. I have started something new. And what he's talking about is what he started new is we actually read about in Revelation chapter 21. This is the start of what Revelation is talking about in Revelation 21, verses 3 to 5. Thanks, Kay. Next slide. Where it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You know, from the start of his ministry, Jesus taught that he was making things new. He was making them different. He was about doing things differently. He was making things new. There was a new way of doing things. I love the next slide. Thank you. A friend of mine put it this way. It says, the kingdom of God is the reversal of everything that went wrong with the world when sin entered the world. It is a restoration of the way things were supposed to be. Won't that be good? That's the kingdom of God. You see, remember Satan, when he came, is all about causing havoc here in this world. His main objective is steal, kill, destroy, and disrupt and cause disunity. That's what Satan's trying to do. So God sends Jesus. The next slide, thanks, Kay. And it says there in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. In other words, bring back God's kingdom. And Jesus is all about restoration and all restoring everything that Satan has wrecked. And Jesus does this by his kingdom come. That's making everything new. You know, it's interesting that in the series The Chosen, as like most series or films, usually people grab a phrase, and there's a number of phrases that people have grabbed hold of and they put on shirts and that. One of them that I like is the phrase that just says, which is a line that the character Jesus uses in the series. And it's just a couple of words. It says, get used to different. Because the disciples, you see them when Jesus teaches and several things happen. And they look at Jesus and he just says, get used to different. And, you know, that's what Jesus came to do. When he came to earth, the kingdom of God is spoken of actually about 100 times in the New Testament. That God's kingdom is going to be different. For Jesus' disciples, this new way wasn't just about learning things. It wasn't facts or a documentary. For Jesus' disciples, as they lived and journeyed and experienced Jesus, you could see them learning and wrestling with how Jesus was telling them and calling them to live. Because as they experienced Jesus, things looked different. He was calling them to do things differently. There's an Austrian philosopher, and he was asked, how do we change society? And he replied this statement. He said, neither revolution nor reformation can ultimately change a society. We'd love to change our society, wouldn't we? Rather, you must tell a new powerful tale, one so pervasive that it sweeps away the old myths and becomes a preferred story, one so inclusive that it gathers all the bits of our past and our present into a coherent whole, one that even shines some light into our future so that we can take the next step. If you want to change a society, you have to tell an alternative story. You know, our experience of Jesus should be the most compelling story we can tell, the most compelling alternative to what the world is offering. Is that what we're telling? You know, I have friends. I know people in our communities who seem uninterested in church. But I don't believe they're uninterested in Jesus. I think they're uninterested in the religion that the media and often we've portrayed. And I believe for something different to happen, it has to start with us, in our Christian lives, and how we live out our relationship with Jesus. We need to tell a better, a more compelling story with our lives, a different story of how we have experienced the reality and power of God in a way that we've never done before. A.W. Tozer, well-known Christian author, and notes this, that most of us who call ourselves Christians do so on the basis of belief more than experience. He argues we have substituted theological ideas for an arresting encounter. In other words, it's our ideas we're hanging on to rather than being able to share a real experience and where God's met us. He says, we are full of religious notions, but our great weakness is that for our hearts, there is no one there. He goes on to say, an authentic spiritual journey must grow from direct personal experience of God. When was the last time you experienced God? One that saw you change how you spoke or acted that day, how you thought through your own situation, an encounter that captured you and caused you to be different. You see, when we experience something, it shifts something in our heart. We can know all the knowledge in the world. We can know all sorts of things. But when we've experienced something, it shifts something in our heart. A couple of weeks ago, I was down in the Nanup area, and I got up early And I walked, we were staying in a little house, and there's just this mountain up behind us. And I walked up, and I was standing on a flat area, and I could look to my left, and I saw the full moon was just about to set. And I looked to the right, and the sun was rising. And I just stood there, and it captured me. And I was taken by it. And I was trying to work out, Lord, what are you saying here? And I was watching as the moon was setting, and I got the idea that something was finishing. You know, that day, that night was finishing, and something new was starting. And I'm still working through with God what he's saying to me through that. And then just this time last week, Saturday last week, took the dogs down the oval. And it was early morning, and it had been misty, raining. I walked across the oval, and I looked up, and there's a rainbow. And it was nearly full, wasn't quite full, so I kept walking away. And I turned back, and there was this full rainbow. And I thought, great, you know, I love rainbows. It just always keeps me thinking, yeah, God's at work. But I kept walking away, and then I turned around, the rainbow was still there. And I'm going, wow. And the clouds were moving. And the clouds moved. And it's just clear blue sky. And I'm going, rainbow's still there. Full. And this full, absolute rainbow. And I turned and I walked straight directly back towards it. And I walked the whole width of the oval. And I'm thinking, the rainbow's still there. You know, they don't usually last that long. And I'm going, Lord, what are you saying? And I just was saying, I'm still here. You know, and it sat with me. God's covenants are still here. His promises are still there. Are we living our lives believing that he is still here with us? That his covenants are just as real for you today as he was when he first put that rainbow in the sky? You guys live in incredible areas. Are you walking at a pace? Are you living at a pace where you're taking time to just sit with God and go, what are you saying? And I think this is what he wants you to know. He sees what you're doing, but he wants more for you. He has more for you. Because as you seek him, you will experience him. And then you'll have something to give away, something genuine and authentic to give away to those around, something different. You see, I want to, and I pray that you do too, to tell a better, braver, more colorful and compelling story. I want to live the kind of life that makes no sense at all unless Jesus exists. And I want to live out the truth of this next verse. Thanks, Kay. You see, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, when I believe that and trust it, and then I can live in a way that will empower me to be different. Now in Revelations 12, verse 11, it says, they triumphed over him, triumphed over Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony, that's their own story of experiencing Jesus. See, every time we can share our own testimony, it has the power of defeating Satan. Because when we share our story of how real God is, how real the Holy Spirit is within us, we defeat Satan every time. But unfortunately, I think too often we have plenty to say about what we believe and too little to share about what we've experienced. I want to ask you a question. Can we have the next slide? Thanks, Kay. How does your relationship inspire you to be different? Or when was your last encounter with Jesus that inspired you to be different? Inspired you to be a different husband because of your relationship with Jesus? Inspired you to be a different wife because of what you'd experienced with Jesus? A different parent, grandparent, friend, employer, employee? Or maybe just do something different because of what you'd experienced with Jesus. See, in the Bible, Jesus turns his disciples' lives upside down in how he calls them to live differently. You know, Jesus makes a habit of turning our lives upside down because of how he asks us to live. When he asks us to trust him, when he asks us to do something his way, he says, I want you to do it differently because I want to bring my kingdom into reality. And what I've seen and what I've learned over the years is that Jesus will meet you exactly where you're at if you will give him time, if you will seek him, if you will listen to him. He will meet you right where you're at. I want you to just close your eyes, bow your head, and I want you just to listen. Father, I want to ask that for each person that's just here now, Lord, you'd bring something to them. Lord, or they would know what it is that you're calling them to, or where you want them to experience you differently. Whether it's in a relationship, Lord, where it's something they're carrying, you want them to release it. Oh Lord, just in something they're facing, you want them to let you help them with it. Father, I just pray now that you would help them to have the courage to trust you, to pursue you, and let you show them how you want them. Lord, let them experience you in a way they didn't expect. Father, because you are Lord God Almighty, you can say, you can speak, you can do whatever you like, whenever you like. You're God. You can change things, shift things. You can change our hearts. You can open our eyes, open our ears to see and hear you like we've never done before. Lord, I pray that you would be so real to each and every person that they have no doubt of how much you love them and how much you desire them to sit with you and be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. How much fun would it be for someone, you know, you meet this week and they experience you in a way that they go, what is it? How come? And then they come along, you're able to bring them to church and they experience something different to what they've heard before. Jesus coming to earth ushered in the kingdom of God, and he gives us the power to be different, bringing his kingdom into reality here and now, as he taught us to pray, on earth as it is in heaven.